Wheel, the Bible back, Numbers, and we're going to be here just a few minutes for a later walk. Really and truly, I don't even have a message that I'm going to preach. Don't really even have anything to do much harder than what I think on this morning. But I've seen something in the Word of the Scripture this morning that I thought would fill my heart with concern and message. Numbers chapter number 22. I invite you to stand with us for the reading in reverence for the Word of God. Numbers chapter number 22. While I grab a water. And I'm going to take up my reading in verse number 11. Bible said in the book of Numbers in verse number 11, chapter number 22, verse number 11, "Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them, for thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princess of Balak, Get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak, and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. Balak sent yet again princes more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam, and said to him, Thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, Let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. You can be seated, Brother Gene. Would you take us to the throne of grace? Yes, Lord. Amen. All right. Appreciate that. All right. Tonight, we're back on the sins of a nation. Now, we run this morning, hopefully, with one of our last messages or the last message on the Lord's plan for us, the Lord's plan for you as an individual. And we've been dealing with the sins of a nation on most Sunday nights. We have moved or strayed away from that on a few occasions to go the direction the Lord would have us to go at that time. But something interesting, as I was studying on this, on the sins of a nation, and I guess what I'm going to deal with tonight, one of the sins, and I believe it's an overlooked sin. I believe it's a sin that people don't relate to or think a lot about when they consider the sins of a nation. We understand that the nations that forget God will be turned into hell. We know that. All right, but tonight I want to deal with one of the sins of a nation that we're suffering with in this nation today is that of greed. And I want to deal with that, if the Lord would help me, tonight for just a few minutes. As I was looking over Numbers chapter number 22 and was considering this story here of Balak, the king of the Moabites, and then considering Balaam the prophet, as no doubt Balak had sent the Moabites to him the first time, and he denied them that he would come because he'd heard from God. God had made it very clear to Balaam that he was not to go. He was not to go curse the children of Israel, that God had a plan, no doubt, for the children of Israel. And we understand that Balak, the king of Moab, was very upset and distressed. The people of Moab was distressed because they had witnessed at the hand of the Israelites what had happened to other enemies that the children of Israel had come up against. And so As we look here, we know that Balaam, beyond a shadow of a doubt, on 2 feet solidly tells them no, and not only no, but you all need to go back where you come from. I don't want to be around you right now. I don't want to be a part of this. It's not something I want to be involved in. So not only no, but you go on back where you come from. And we understand that Balak didn't take no for an answer. And like a lot of times we find that people won't take no for an answer. Certain instances in our life come up and people are going to want what they want. That's just part of human nature. And so we see that Balak wouldn't take no for an answer. So he sent not only the Moabites back down there, but he sent a greater number and he sent more honorable men. So he wanted to boost his chances, if you will, by sending people more of a social hierarchy, if you will, maybe to cause Balaam to feel better about himself or feel like he was more of a social standing with the king of Balak, the king here. And as we read, we find that Balaam goes from being staunch at saying no and being adamant that he doesn't want any part of this simply because God said no, and that was good enough for Balaam. And if it was good enough for Balaam and in the Bible, it's good enough for me and for you. When God says no, that sign seals and that's the end of it, okay? Just because God said it is enough. But it wasn't good enough for Balak. So Balak sent more honorable men down there to talk to Balaam. And we know that the Bible said the princes, verse number 14 of Moab, rose up. They went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. So in other words, the Lord said no. The word of God was sent back by the Moabites to Balak that Balaam said no because God said no. And Balak didn't stop at that. Balak said, let nothing stop you. In other words, Balak didn't care what God had to say about it. And so he goes ahead and sends people back out there to Balaam. And we understand that the Bible said in verse number 16, and they came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto very great honor. I will set you on a social platform. I will bring you up above others. I will show you off before mankind. And listen, there's a lot of people today doing the things that they're doing, involved in the things that they're involved in, to have a social standing because they don't feel like they are much unless somebody else feels like they are much. I don't need you to help me feel a certain way about myself. Why? Because all I have to care about is what the Lord thinks. Amen. All right, so they're trying to promote a social standing here with Balaam. And listen, you say, well, preacher, I don't fall into that social standing situation. Listen, when you have to get on Facebook to tell how many times the little doggy used the bathroom by the sidewalk, just so everybody knows what you had for breakfast and what color you colored your hair 3 times in 1 month and how many guns you bought last week, I don't care about none of that. And a lot of people don't either, but it's all about a social standing. Look what I've done. Look what I've got. Look at who I am. That's what it's about today. People are hung up, and this ain't even a message, but people get hung up on a social standing. Where they stand in society in regards to other people means everything to a lot of people. And if we could ever get to the place where we didn't care what other people thought about us, we only cared what God thought about us, we'd be in a lot better place as a nation today. That's for free. You can do that what you want to do with it, all right? The Bible said, and Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord, my God, to do less or more. So instantly, Balaam has talked to the Moabites about Balak's offer. And he's telling them, he said, listen, if he give me all the silver and gold that he had access to, it wouldn't change the fact that God said what God said. And I can't go against God for all the silver and for all the gold that Balak could bring into me. But listen, as he says that, and as he lets that come out of his mouth, I believe it struck a chord with him, Brother Marvin. It struck a chord with him. Why? Because we're flesh. And when we're flesh, if we're not careful, Brother Marvin, we'll let some things creep up and we ain't expecting it, brother. All right? And so in his endeavor, Brother Marvin, and let's remember, Brother Marvin was just having a talk about this a few minutes ago. But listen here. When you're endeavoring to do what God tells you to do, and you're endeavoring to mind God and to be strong for the Lord, sometimes the things that you're even talking about will strike a chord with you and begin to dwell up on the inside. And when you give way to it and begin to ponder on it and study it out and think about it for just a little while, something comes up on the inside and says, man, that might be all right. That might be good. I mean, I could do a lot with a house full of silver and a house full of gold, Brother Shane. I mean, really and truly here, Brother Johnny come to me and said, listen, if you'll just do this, I'll give you all the money your heart could desire. I might stand up and tell Brother Johnny, listen, if it wouldn't matter all the money you give me, it don't change what God had to say. But when Johnny walks off and I begin to ponder about all that money that he offered to me, and I sat down and lay down in my bed and I think about what all I could do with that money, then the greed starts to set up on the inside. And I begin to give way to covetousness and think about the things that I could do with it. And then I start pondering on what all enjoyment I could get with all the things I could buy with the money. And before you know it, I've let my mind run so far away with me that it's not within 100 miles of what God said. That's where we see the problem starts happening here with Balaam. I want to say this, it started right here. Everything Balaam done wrong first started on the inside. And it all come from a fleeting thought. Listen to me, even in your staunch attitude, even in your ability to hold the line, even in your seriousness to serve God, if you're not careful, friend, the devil will find a loophole in your life. So you better pay attention here. And the first part of this is admitting the fact that you're capable of doing it. And if you'll admit it, then you're on your way to doing something about it. All right, but he says, and Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord, my God, to do less or more. Then we find here in verse number 19, the rope starts to unravel. Now therefore I pray you tarry you also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. And we understand there's some things you just don't have to pray about. We said that this morning. He already knew what the answer was. He didn't have to dibble dabble in it anymore. He didn't have to go back and ask God twice. The first time was sufficient. But he's just hoping. He's just got his fingers crossed. He's just thinking about that silver and that gold, and what it would buy him and what it would do for him. Boy, wouldn't it be good if God just agreed to this? Then I could serve God and have what I wanted to. And there's a lot of people today wanting their cake and eat it too in the service for the Lord. And I want to say this, friend, you can't. It's either the cake or it's the Lord. And the Lord wants you to serve him out of the goodness of your heart because you want to. But we find here that the covetousness, the lust, the wants, the pleasure that can come from having the silver and the gold begins to stay in Balaam's mind, and he ponders on what he could do with these things. Now, quickly, I haven't said that, kind of haven't had set the stage with this, having preached on this morning. I would like for you to turn your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes for just a few moments. The book of Ecclesiastes in chapter number 5. I'd like to read you a few portions of scripture here, and I'll try my best not to preach as long tonight. Brother Gene showed me up this morning. He said he was going to stay on time, and he stayed on time. And I thought, bless God, if he can stay on time, I can surely. So I'm going to try my best to stay on time tonight, all right? So Ecclesiastes 5 and 10 says, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. Now we understand here Solomon is been given wisdom like no man has ever been given wisdom in times past, in present, or in the future. And Solomon has this to say, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied. Now first thing I want us to understand, Balaam has noticed or thought about what all he could do with the silver and with the gold. But I want to say this to you. All the silver and all the gold that you could get in this world will never bring the peace or the joy that you get out of being right with God. I have been on both sides of that fence. I have been on the side where I got what I wanted and it cost me what I had. And then I've been on the side where I just let some things go for the glory and honor of God, and was able to sleep at night because I had peace in my heart that all was well in heaven, between heaven and my soul. And I thank God for that. So this wise man, Solomon, here says, he that loveth silver
shall not be satisfied. So I want to say this. Let's say that Balaam had obtained the silver and the gold. It wouldn't have brought him the happiness and the joy that he was expecting it to bring him. Why? Because he would have had something between him and God. So he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. Now, silver doesn't always bring abundance. You need to understand that. Sometimes it brings notoriety or fame. Now, as we read here, it says, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. So a lot of people use silver and gold for a lot of different things. They'll use it for fame, for notoriety, for elevated social status, as we said a moment ago. And then, of course, the abundance of increase. All the things that you can do with all that money. All right? So when goods increase, the Bible said, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? Now, I don't know about you, Brother Johnny, but I've noticed that sometimes it seems like when I make five extra dollars, something, Brother Shane, shows up to take the five extra dollars nearly every time. I can't ever seem to get ahead, Brother Gene, what something don't show up and come to take the money that I've salvaged or put in the bank account. Something always seems to show up. Now, we could look at this two ways. We could get upset and say, well, I just can't never save no money. Or we could say, well, thank God I had the money to pay for the problem that come up in my life. Can I say to you today that when we serve the Lord gives us the needs. He gives us the things that we need to sustain our life. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. But he's there to take care of us and provide for us as dear children. All right? And I appreciate that. And so, as we see here, when goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? So in other words, I could give of myself to getting more. I could give of myself to earning more and having more and desiring to be more or have more money. But if I devoted all my life to that, what good did it do me? Because at the end of the day, friend, after I've gained more and more and more, there's just going to be something there in the way to take it from me. All right, so Bible said the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. And all you care about in this life is more and more and more and more and more. You can't even lay your head down at night for worrying about how you're going to get more or if you're going to lose what it is that you've got. But when you just have peace in your heart that you're right with God and God's meeting your needs, even when sometimes it don't feel like that your needs are going to be met, you can sleep and rest at night free. All right, then the Bible said there is a sore evil. Now, sore in 1828 Webster's Dictionary means greatly, violently, or deeply. And so the verse number 13 of Ecclesiastes chapter number 5, so there is a sore evil, a great evil, a violent evil, if you will, which I have seen under the sun, namely riches, kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. Now listen here, but those riches perish by evil travail. And he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. Now, as we look at verse number 14, I want to show you something here. When you read this passage of Scripture, this verse of Scripture, the Bible said, but those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. Let me explain to you something. There's a lot of people today, Brother Shane, that's working and digging out a career, doing what they can to get as much money saved up as they can, to fill their bank account as full as they can get it for two things. Number one, they're planning on retiring. They're planning on living off of that income for the rest of their life. Now, I'm not telling you to be ignorant, blow all your money. That's not what I'm saying. And there's nothing wrong as the Lord blesses you putting back some money, but considering God's plan for your life as you do it, all right? But not to be doing it for covetous reasons or to have more than the person next to you does. But simply put, there's a lot of people that's trying to lay up this inheritance if you want to leave something to their children. I cannot tell you the people that I've heard say over and over and over again, I'm working as much overtime as I can because I want to leave something for my children. I'm wanting to give them more than I had, all right? And And as we read that verse, this verse of Scripture, the Bible says, he began at the sun and there's nothing in his hand. And I'm reminded of Luke chapter number 15 when the prodigal son was given his inheritance. The first thing that he did, Brother Gene, was not only took the inheritance, but he took it to the far country. He squandered it on everything down there sinful that his father had worked for to give to him. And so there's a crowd today that's trying to build a nest egg or an inheritance, if you will, to give to their children. But what we find here is a son will run through your life savings at the drop of a hat, fruit. And so I want to say this. There's nothing wrong if you've got some money in the bank to leave to your children. But I want to say this. I'm not working and doing everything I can to leave my daughters a huge sum of money. What I'm working at right now is giving them a spiritual inheritance, one that shows them that God will always take care of them if they'll serve Him when I'm not here to be able to do it. To find a God-fearing husband that loves the Lord and wants to serve the Lord, that can lead you in the right direction as a good, godly wife, and to always know that if you serve Him and put Him first in your life, friend, He'll meet all your needs according to His riches in glory. That's what I'm trying to do today, friend. And so turn your Bibles quickly to Proverbs. Hold your place in Ecclesiastes. Turn to the book of Proverbs for just a minute. Chapter number 22. Considering what I just said in light of verse number 14 of Ecclesiastes chapter number 5. And I've done blown the notes. I don't even know where I'm at in that. The Bible says in verse number 1 that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And loving favor rather than silver and gold. Now I don't think we need to re-preach this. But we talked about this just the other a Sunday morning and I believe Sunday night, what it is that people, how they're going to know the Lord. They're going to know God. They don't know Him. They don't know us. They don't know us because they don't know Him. But we're the avenue that we're to get them to Him, right? So they have to know us. And so the Bible said in Proverbs 22, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. I'd rather you, Brother Shane, know that I am a God-fearing man that loves the Lord, that's trying to do right, than to know that I've got a bank account full of money. All right, and the loving favor rather than silver and gold. Now listen, the rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. I want to say this, friend, as I've said before, it's a level playing field at Calvary. It don't matter if you've got a large bank account or a small bank account. We're all going to die. We're all going to pass off the seed. And the only thing that's going to matter, friend, whether you're saved by the grace of God or whether you're not. And so the Bible said, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Now this right here, it's hard to put Proverbs sometimes in context because there's a tendency sometimes for things to seem almost as if they just kind of ping pong and bounce around. But let me say to you, I believe we can put Proverbs chapter number 22 in context of rich and poor and gold and silver. Because a prudent man foreseeth the evil. What evil? The evil in putting your life's effort into having more money. All right? And he hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. Do you know what happened to Balaam? Balaam pondered on the silver and the gold. Balaam was standing for God, but he let his mind get away with it. He was his own worst enemy. He studied on it, pondered on it, chewed on it, thought about it all night, told the men, just stay here for the night. In other words, he sent them packing the first time, but I'm going to leave them here just in case the Lord comes to me and gives me a little bit different direction. I'll be able to have them near so that I can say what I want to say to them. And he hoped and pondered and prayed and kept his fingers crossed that the Lord would let him change direction and go his own way. All right? And so he was a simple man. How do you know he was simple? Because he didn't pick up on what God was trying to show him. He had blinded himself through disobedience. Through disobedience, he was whooping on the donkey, but he could not see the angel down there with the sword, the judgment of God, waiting on him when he got down there. And the whole time, the donkey is trying to get him to change course and change direction, but he just keeps whipping the donkey. And the Bible said that the Lord put words in the donkey's mouth. So we know that this donkey wasn't always conversating with Balaam. Balaam had never spoke to this donkey before. But suddenly the donkey's got something to say. And so when the donkey has something to say, we see things start slowly getting Balaam back in line. But he was a simple man. And the Bible said, but the simple pass on and are punished. Do you know what was happening? There was punishment waiting on Balaam simply because of one thing. Balaam allowed his mind to think about the silver and the gold. What he could do with the silver and the gold. Now, the verse number 5 said, thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, we've preached out of that when we're dealing with the home time and time and time again. But in context, we're dealing with a child, and a child has got a father and a mother. And a father and a mother, in the context of Proverbs 22, we're dealing with the rich and the poor. And what it is, not to give your whole life to trying to get riches, but to simply do this. The one thing that we have in this life is what? Our testimony. We understand here that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor. Number 2, the raising that you give your children. Because the raising will be there when what? They're old. Train up a child the way she go when he's old, will not depart, he will not depart from it. In other words, Brother Gene, when you're gone, all the raising you give your children is still going to be here. There's parts of what you've done going to be left when you're not here anymore. And there's parts of what I will have left when I'm not here anymore. And so it ought not be the riches that the son or the daughter blows through, as we see in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse number 14. Because if all you ever give is what the father gave the prodigal son over in Luke chapter number 15, it's going to be gone at the snap of a finger. But you train up a child the way he should go, and when he's old, the training won't be able to ever be gone. It will never depart from the child. So train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Now listen to me here. We need to invest. We need to invest in our children. Listen, we need to invest in our children today. Right now. We need to start investing now. All right? Now, when the Bible says here, train up a child in the way that he should go when he's old, he will not depart from it. Now listen here. Raising children is in the context of riches here. All right? This is what the very next verse of Scripture says. The rich ruleth over the poor. And the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, what does that mean? Now, let's think about this for just a moment. A servant, friend, is one who yields obedience, one who makes painful sacrifices. And so here's the problem. Now, let's think about this. The Bible talks about riches. And the root of all evil. What is that? Money. Money is the root of all evil. That's what I'm trying to say. Money is not all evil. Money is the root of all evil. That root runs deep. Now, we understand the root is under the ground. All right? And so this root that runs deep, being our money, the love of money, if you will, why do we love money? We love money not because I have some fascination with a little coin of gold or a little coin of silver. Or the little dollar bills that are in my billfold, but the fact that that money buys something. And what that money represents is a value, and I put that value towards something that I think will bring me pleasure. And so the love of money is exactly what happened here, what throwed Balaam off course. This money, this silver and this gold that could be offered to me could buy happiness. It could buy me something. All right, and so having said that, here's the deal. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. You know what's killing our nation right now? Number one, there's a greed for money. We got all kinds of things. We've preached and preached and preached on things. Abortion, that of alcohol. I mean, we could go on and on and on. And all these things, pornography, all these things are what? Money-making tools. Something that our nation is using to make or get financial gain. All right? And so you might as well not look for our nation to get rid of these things, because as long as it's bringing in money at the rate we're spending money, Brother Johnny, in this nation, we're going to need money to keep coming in. Why? Because we like to spend money that we don't have. That's not only something that we're doing as a nation, but we're doing it in families. And not only are we doing it in families, but we're teaching our children today that they can have today and pay for it later. Now, I had a preacher warn me one time. He said, if you want to get thrown out of the church, you can preach on two things, modesty and money. And so far, I've hit both of those since I've been here, and I ain't gone yet. Praise the Lord. And so we're going to hopefully get this. We're going to get through this, all right? But here's what I'm saying to you. When you read verse number 7, we're talking about riches, and we're talking about training your children. And then it goes right into verse number 7. It says, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Well, if a servant is one who yields obedience and one who makes painful sacrifices, I thought, Brother Johnny, that we lived in the land of the free and the home of the brave. I thought in America I could be what I wanted to, pursue happiness. And all I've done is bound myself with chains when I determine that I can have now and pay later. And what's happening is our nation is having now and paying later. And we're teaching people today that they can have now and pay later, and some not even have to pay at all. All right, so here, let's consider this for just a minute. Let me just camp out here for a moment. I'm liking this verse of Scripture. The U.S. tax system does not generate enough revenue, Brother Marvin, to cover the spending that the policymakers have enacted. We understand that. We're in a deficit like we've never been in before. Now, we look at all these sins and we say, oh, this nation's not going to stand. This nation's not going to stand because of abortion, and it won't. This nation's not going to stand because of pornography, and it won't. It's not going to stand because of all these sins, homosexuality, and it won't. But I want to say this, if all those things go away and we don't get greed out of control, it's still going to implode. Why? Because we can't go at the rate we're going forever without this thing falling apart. Everybody talks about a one world government and all these things. Well, I'm going to tell you something, friend. If we don't quit owing everybody and their brother, we're going to be in a pickle. And if you don't realize something today as a father and a mother, if you owe everybody and their brother, friend, you are a servant to the lender. They own you. And when you are a servant to the lender, you can't serve God and mammon. In other words, how, Brother Ezra, are you going to serve God and do what God wants you to be when you can't serve Him because you're servant to the guy down at the bank? Now listen to me. I understand there's some things just the way that things are set up, all right? I've got bills every month that I have to pay to have electricity. I have to pay for my own gas. I understand those things. But there's a lot of people that's got the idea that they can have now and pay later. And what they're pushing, friend, is they want riches. They're wanting riches right now. They want all that they can get out of this land that they live in. All right, now, let me read to you quickly in 1 Timothy chapter number 6. The Bible said in verse number 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen? We could ever learn to be content with such things as we have, we'd be better off for it. All right? But the Bible says we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Now, let me pause just a minute. There's nothing wrong with you having faith. There's nothing wrong with you having what you're able to have. But when you try to exceed past your means and live beyond what God has blessed you with, you're essentially saying, God, I'm not happy with what you provided for me. I want something more. And I'm going to go get it, Lord, because I love me and I'm entitled to it. And essentially, that's what Balaam done. He said, God, I want to serve you, but I really want this. And if you could just, you know, maybe move my direction a little bit, I'd appreciate it because I'd like to be able to serve you and have all this money at the same time. But it ain't going to work. Why? Because somebody's going to have to pay for it. You know who was going to pay for it? Those children of Israel were going to have to pay for it. You know who suffers, friend, when you have now and pay later? The church. You know why? Because you can't give yourself to church. You can't give yourself to the things of God. You know why? Because you're not a servant to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a servant to the lender. There's a lot of people that's having to work overtime, having to work Sundays, they think, because they put themselves in positions that they ought not have ever put themselves into. Now listen, I'm not talking about people that have mandatorily have to work on a Wednesday night or a job that mandatorily makes you work on a Sunday. I've had them. Now I've done everything in my power to get out of it. And I'll say this, if God gives you some out and allows you to go somewhere else and work somewhere else that allow you to have Sundays and Wednesday nights, you ought to do it. But I'll say this, I understand that there's times when you have to work against your will. I understand that. First and foremost, a person has to work. I have to be a breadwinner. By the sweat of my brow or my face, my children eat their bread. All right? Well, I understand that. And I thank God that if I have a wreck on Sunday, there'll be somebody at the emergency room to help me. All right? So that's not what I'm saying. All right, but let's look on here in 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Verse number 8 said, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Verse number 9, but they that, now here's the key. Here's the key to this whole passage of Scripture. They that will be rich. Not those that are rich. Not those that the Lord's just blessed because, Brother Marvin, I've given God my tithes and offerings and I've served the Lord and the Lord has blessed me abundantly and I love the church and I'm trying to do right and God just blessed me to have a substantial amount of income. That's great. Fine. But if you're looking to be rich, if you're working with the intent to be rich and to be more than, to have more and more and more and more and more, this is where you fall into trouble. The Bible said, but they that will be rich fall into temptation. Essentially, Balaam is saying, "Ooh, I'd like to be rich. And I have the ability to go a certain direction for the sake of finances. I'd really like to have this." And so the Bible said that they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. Well, Gene was talking about the devil this morning. The devil has laid a trap for many people. And he gets them through finances. Listen, there's a lot of good people that love the Lord that didn't realize that they were getting themselves in this situation. And because the Lord couldn't get them through pornography, the devil couldn't get them through pornography, or they didn't find themselves in trouble because of abortion. They didn't find themselves in trouble with homosexuality. All the things that we've preached on concerning the sins of a nation, the devil just simply laid a trap for them in their finances. And nobody meant to do no wrong. Nobody meant to cause harm to their family. Nobody meant to serve mammon, but they just did. It just happened. Why? Because they felt like they were entitled. God help us, we're raising up a generation today that think that they're entitled. I don't know about you, friend, but when I got married, I slept on two couches pushed together because I didn't have a mattress for a long time. I joke with people and tell people my wife and I, we eat cereal with a fork because we didn't have enough milk, friend, for both of us to use a spoon. And when I opened the door on my pickup truck, everybody thought I was allowing my wife to get in first, but they didn't realize my side didn't open. I had to get in on that side. Now, I understand not everybody's quite that bad off, all right? But I'm saying this. We don't have to teach a generation of children that they can have what a man that's worked for 40 years has got. We ought to teach them that they can work. And if you're hungry, mom and daddy will have something on the table this evening if you need to come by and eat. But we're not going to give you everything that we've got. And we're not going to spend all of our savings because you need an 80-inch flat-screen TV. Amen. All right. And so, listen, anyway, I don't know how we got there either. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into money, or and into many foolish. Listen now. Into many foolish and hurtful lusts. Which does what? Now listen here. Which drown men in destruction and perdition. When you think of somebody that's drowning, Brother Gene, you see somebody that's got in over their head. There's a lot of people, because of finances and money, have put themselves in a position where they're drowning. And listen, they're going under. And they owe so many people, Brother Shane, that they're having to borrow from Peter to pay Paul. Because they don't know how they're going to make it from one week to the next. Now, I'd love to tell you that I'm a saint and I ain't never fell into this predicament. But I have had to learn a few things the hard way. But I'm going to tell you right now, friend, having the idea that you can have now and pay later, you're going to pay far more greater than you ever thought that you were going to pay. And sometimes it'll come at the cost of your own children. Why? Because I've obligated and I owe the man and I'm a servant to the lender. I'm having to work all these hours. Well, maybe I'm able to make it, Brother Shane, on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But I'm having to work 80 hours a week every week. And I'm never going to get that time back with my children. When your children are grown, they're grown, friend. They ain't going to stay 10 years old forever. And if I have to work my whole entire life, 80 hours a week, every week, just to make ends meet, because I've done some stupid things, and I'm servant to the lender, I'm saying eventually to my wife, you're going to be a single mother 80 hours a week because I had to have now and pay later, friend. And what happens is when you do that, you also wind up, listen, because we have to have now and pay later, we pay huge, humongous interest rates. Huge interest rate. That money just compounds and compounds and compounds. And eventually you're just working 80 hours a week to live, to make it. and you're letting some other person down here get rich and spend 40 hours a week at work and have all the time with their children, and they're driving a BMW you could be driving if you just waited for it, that you could have afforded one. Amen. But instead, you're not, because you've had to have now and pay later. All right? And so anyway, boy, it's getting hotter in here by the minute. The U.S. tax system, we understand that, does not generate enough revenue to cover the spending that the policymakers have enacted. All right, now listen here. This imbalance between revenues and spending leads to higher and higher and higher annual deficits. We know that. And the result is an increasing national debt balance. That's just common sense. We understand that, all right? And I've had people, this makes me so mad, Brother Gene, I have to bite my tongue until I bleed nearly, but I have people that are even dear to me that'll vote against the things that we know, or vote opposite of the things that we believe this Bible says, and they'll say this: I'm just voting my paycheck, brother. I'm just voting my paycheck. Whatever makes me the most money. It's not about money, but the love of money is the root of all evil. And because they love money so much and they're trying to get an extra $100 on their paycheck every week, they're willing to allow things to happen and vote against their conscience and against what the Bible says just for the sake of money. Now listen, I'm telling you, we're in trouble in this country. All right, so we understand. Let me say this. We spend $1 billion a day, Brother Shane, in this nation on interest. $1 billion a day. In 10 more years, Brother Johnny, our interest will double. In 10 more years. All right, now listen. If we just spent $1 billion a day, Brother Gene, on infrastructure in this country, what would it do for us? But we can't afford to do it. Why? Because we're spending it on interest. That's what happens to you and me when we have to have now and pay later. The things that we're spending all that extra money on that's going to nothing but interest rates could be used for the furtherance, not only of your home, but for the kingdom. For the Lord's work. Amen. All right. Now, our national debt today is $26.3 trillion. You know what that equates to, Brother Gene? That means if every single American, Brother Shane, it would take every single American to pay $80,000 apiece. That's not just me, but that's my girl, to pay our national debt off. It'd take that much money. Now, what's essentially happening here, and Brother Johnny, is that my kids are inheriting all this debt we're putting up and piling up. Why? Because I'm having it now. But somebody's going to have to pay for it later. My children are. You know what happens when we have to have now and pay later? I'm getting what I want now, but my children are having to pay for it later. And that's not just financial, but it's spiritual. All right? And so let's read here quickly Malachi chapter number 3. Let me pause before I do that, because I've run you all over the Bible tonight. Let me finish out here in Proverbs. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, we live in the home of the free, the land of the free and the home of the brave, but a lot of us are just bound down. Then the Bible said, he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. Verse number 9, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Now, bountiful, let me tell you what bountiful is. Bountiful, the definition is simply this: free. To give. Now, if I am servant to the lender, I am not free to give anything, because all of my money is going to the individual that's wearing me out on interest, because I just had to have something right now. All right? But what does God want us to do? Not only to be good stewards, but to be good stewards of our money. We need to understand that. Now, I know it gets quiet because we start dealing with pocketbooks and billfold, but the Bible said, he that hath a bountiful eye, an eye free to give, what bountiful is. In other words, Brother Gene, I should be looking around with my eyes and looking for an opportunity to give to somebody that needs it. To give to the work of God and to his ministry, what he's wanting to do. This church should not suffer financially because people in it had the idea that they were going to have now and pay later. Listen, if we could take what we have back, listen to me now, if we could take just what we owe in interest, everybody in this church right now could take the money that we're spending on interest for things that we wanted to have today that we didn't need, that could have waited until tomorrow, when we could have afforded it and paid cash money for it, we could take that interest and put it down here in this jug, we'd be emptying it every week. And we'd have about 10 more missionaries on, if not more, every month. Why? Simply because we felt entitled. Now, how do you think God feels about that? Now, listen, I'm all for faith promise missions, and I'm not knocking faith promise missions, but I'll say this. Before we get hung up on faith promise missions and doing all those things, we got a lot of cleaning up at the house we could do. We could choke up a lot more money every month. We could have a bountiful eye for our missionaries and putting more missionaries on in the work of God if we just simply said, Lord, I'm not entitled. I don't need that. By saying that I'm entitled and I want this now and I'm going to pay for it tomorrow, you're simply saying, well, God, the work that you're doing in this world not really as important as me having what I really want that I really don't need. That's exactly what it equates to right there. And so let me say this. He that hath the bountiful eye shall be blessed. He that hath the bountiful eye shall be blessed. You know what a blessing is? It's the favor of God. Now, do you know what keeps my family going? What allows us to make it from week to week is the favor of God. Without the favor of God, Brother Shane, I couldn't be here. Without God's blessing on your life, Brother Shane, you wouldn't have any work to go do next week. All right? And so any time that we get out of the bounds of the Scripture and start deciding that we, you know, owe it to ourselves to have some things that we don't need, and push God aside, don't let it surprise you when you come up and can't pay your bills because the Lord ain't blessing you no more. All right? He that hath the bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. All right, now, let's turn over to Malachi quickly. Let me find my place here. All right, Malachi chapter number 3. I'm going to read to you verse number 6. The Bible said, for I am the Lord, I change not. Amen right there. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Now, Malachi is at Jerusalem, but he's preaching to all of the descendants of Jacob. So he's preaching to the Israelites. All right? The descendants of Jacob is who he's dealing with primarily. So Israel, Judah, Israel, he's at Jerusalem. He said, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances. Now that sounds like today, amen, and have not kept them. Return unto me. I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Well, how many people today in this nation is acting like they don't know what we're talking about? There's people in the church, we don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what, we are serving the Lord. We are doing God's work. We are going to church. All right, but now listen here. He says, even from the days of your fathers, you are going away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Now listen to me. There ain't a one of us in this church right now that if somebody come in here and slipped down beside of us and started trying to dig in our billfold, we wouldn't have them smacked down in the floor. And there ain't one of us tonight, if we was at home and somebody tried to get in through our windows or through our doors or into our vehicles, that we wouldn't be slinging lead at them, right? I hope you would. I would be slinging lead at them. All right, so what I'm saying is this. When we consider that, and we look at verse number 8, and the Bible says, will a man rob God? Well, we look at that and go, we're against robbery. We're against thievery. I've never stole nothing. I've never done nothing like that. I want to say this. When we have now and pay later, you know what we're doing, Brother Gene? We're robbing God. We're saying, God, your work's not as important as my selfish desire. Now, I hope this is eating your lunch as bad as it's eating mine because I'm getting beat to death right now, all right? All right, so the Bible says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? Then he answers the question, in tithes and offerings. Now, a tithe, we understand, is 10% of our income. And we think if we give 10% of our income, we don't owe any offering. We're just doing what God told us to do. You know, our minimal amount of service to God. But he's saying when you're wasting all that money, when we're blowing all that interest on nothing, and you're padding the pockets of somebody else that's got more than they need anyway, you're robbing God. You're robbing God. All right. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now we're talking about the sins of a nation here. This was a national problem. We have this problem in our nation today. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. In other words, take care of the house of God first. Now there's a lot of us, I believe in my heart, that probably haven't even considered it in this life. All right? And so you have the heart for giving God what is God. But we fail to realize that we're actually, even though we're doing that, we're robbing God of a lot of things that we could be giving Him. This is what He has to say here. He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now here's my message and I'm done. I'm going to close her off right there. We are right now, I don't know about you, I hope that your heart is going the direction mine is. My heart, and I've shared this with the men in the prayer room last Sunday, my heart is for us to get back some people that we've lost. Some people, for whatever reason, are not here right now that should be and could be here, but they're not. You can't get them here. I can't get them here because if we could, they'd be here. But I know one that can. And here's what I'm telling you. The Bible tells me right here in the book of Malachi, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now. Herewith saith the Lord of hosts. He's saying, prove me. Try me. Just try me and see if I don't bless you. Here's what I'm saying. You can't fix your finances like that. I understand that. There's a lot of us ain't going to get up in the morning and change the way we do our banking immediately. But I'll say this. You get earnest in prayer. You fast and ask God to deal with these people that we're praying for and wanting God to reach. And then you start looking at your personal self and your personal house and your personal things, and you start figuring out where you have been lax or slack in the service for the Lord and being able to give to God what is His. I'll say this, friend. It ain't the guys down the road. That 20-something percent interest, it shouldn't be the guys down the road. If you're going to throw that away, throw it at God. Give it to God. But when you purpose in your heart that everything you do with your life is for the glory and honor of God, and you start, listen now, the root of all evil, it's money. When God has your billfold, He has your heart. I don't care what anybody says about it. When God has your billfold, He has your heart. And when you start looking at your finances and figuring out where you are wasting money, just wasting it. Pay attention to me now. Just where we're wasting it. We could take what we're wasting financially and just put it towards missions. God would bless this church in a fashion that I believe in my heart would not only scare you, but it would scare me. Listen to me now. We want all these things. We say we do. We say we want it. We say we want people back in church. We say we're willing to do whatever. But are we willing to? Now listen. I'm not asking you to starve your kids next week. I'm not asking you to throw the money away that you need to survive. I'm not asking you to do this. I'm not telling you not to buy Coca-Cola. What I'm saying is this, though. We're looking at money that we're wasting that nobody's benefiting from. We just took that money and put it into the storehouse. What kind of blessings would God do? God's looking for this. He's looking for us. He's wanting us. He's wanting every aspect, every angle of us. And when you give Him your billfold, you give Him your heart. And He knows that He's got you then. I want to ask you something tonight, and I'm done. Let's all stand to our feet. We won't have any piano playing tonight. I don't believe we need to do that tonight. But I would ask.